I want to talk about impaired drivers on Connecticut highways. And we have Josh Morgan here from the Department of Transportation. Josh, correct me if I'm wrong, but especially since the pandemic, we know driver behavior has sort of plummeted, to put it bluntly. But we also know that there's been a real increase in impaired driving, whether that's people who are drinking and driving, are under some sort of substance influence. Are we still continuing to see that trend go up in Connecticut?
Hey, good morning, Melissa. Yeah, sadly, those trend lines are going in the wrong direction. So people are making a selfish decision to get behind the wheel when they should know better. So if they've been, drinking and they're getting behind the wheel, they're, being really reckless and putting themselves and everybody else on the road at risk. We get updates here at the DOT every Thursday based on the last week. So we have 264 roadway fatalities this year. That's 16 more than at this time last week. So it was an absolutely devastating week on our roads over the holiday weekend for many people. And so these numbers are definitely going in the wrong direction here in Connecticut.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you brought that up, Josh. I saw 7 people were killed in crashes across Connecticut just this past weekend, as you mentioned, very high, unlikely number. I mean, we don't usually see over this 3-day weekend, which for some people, it's not even a 3-day weekend. Like I was working Monday. I know that state departments were closed, banks, mail, all that. But there were still kids who were in school. There were still people who were working. So it wasn't even like a Labor Day weekend, a Memorial Day weekend, a 4th of July. So it was a little odd to see it that high, correct? That many deaths in a weekend?
Yeah, I mean, we run, high visibility DUI enforcement campaigns around Labor Day, around the 4th of July, around Memorial Day. It wasn't active over the, Columbus Day holiday weekend. And because historically it's, not that big travel weekend, whether it's because the seasons were, a little unseasonably warm. There was more people out and about, unsure. But there's, what we are sure of is that people are being reckless. They're being dangerous. And, people are getting killed because of those behaviors.
I noticed that there was a situation that also happened over the weekend. We have Josh Morgan here from the Department of Transportation. A Bridgeport man arrested after police say he was clocked going over 100 miles an hour on I-95 in Stamford, and they detected signs of impairment. He was, in fact, impaired, taken into custody, reckless driving, DUI, all of that. Tell us, Josh, what are some things that the Department of Transportation, specifically what you've been tackling, especially since the pandemic happened and we saw that there was an uptick in impaired driving? What has the DOT done in the last 4 years specifically to attack this problem?
Yeah, so, we see the news headlines, we see the reports from law enforcement, and since the pandemic, people are just out of control on Connecticut roads, and it's actually something sadly that's not unique to Connecticut. We talk to our sister agencies across the country. They're seeing more impaired driving. They're seeing increased speeds. And the pandemic changed all of us. And part of that is changing driver behavior. We need to reel that back in. So, when we talk about, what we can do, we need the troopers out there, such key partners, to get these dangerous drivers off the road. When we're talking about, I-95, we can't put speed bumps on the highway. We can't do some of the things that we can do on some of the state roads in terms of narrowing the lanes or putting in roundabouts. That's not feasible on the interstates. So when someone is going to go 90, 100, 110 miles an hour, we need the troopers out there to get them off the road, arrest them for reckless and aggressive driving, because that's a serious problem. And we have speed data that shows, for instance, in Norwalk, before the pandemic, it was like 0.1 or 0.2% of drivers were going over 85 miles an hour. Now it's close to 6% of drivers
Wow.
that are going that fast. So speeds are up across the board, and that means that if there's a crash, it is far more likely to result in serious injuries or death because of those high rates of speed.
And Josh Morgan, another thing I think I remember the department talking about maybe over the summertime was that there are tests going on right now with being able to detect a drunk driver before the car even starts, right? Aren't there some of the vehicles being tested for that in Connecticut?
Yeah, we have several vehicles, state vehicles, that have this technology. It's a passive alcohol detection system, so it works like an ignition lock, but you know, you don't have to blow into a tube. You don't have to do anything. You get in the car, you try to start it. The sensors in the car can pick up the driver's blood alcohol content out of their breath. And so if someone is over the legal limit, the car would not be able to shift into reverse or into drive. It would be able to turn over. So if they needed to warm up, charge a phone, call somebody, but you know, you wouldn't be able to move the vehicle. So we're testing that. We have an outreach vehicle that's going to schools, events, concerts in Connecticut. We were at the Big E on Connecticut Day with the vehicle, displaying the technology to the public, because that could really be a game changer in the efforts to stop drunk driving. You know, we've asked people to do their part to not drive drunk. The technology could, you know, take that behavior out of someone's hands and actually not let them drive drunk, which would certainly improve safety on our roadways and on roadways across the country.
We have Josh Morgan here from the Department of Transportation talking about impaired drivers on our roadways and combating the issue. Josh, right before the break, we were talking about technology in cars to detect if you're drunk behind the wheel. How soon could that be rolled out? And is it something that would go into new cars? Is it something that you would install in cars? Like, how does that work with this new technology?
Yeah, so the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA, is currently reviewing rulemaking on this. So the possibility is that this could be a federal law that would mandate the technology being installed in all new vehicles being sold as soon as 2030. Think of it as a safety feature like lane detect, assist, backup cameras, things that are now standard on new vehicles, and you don't necessarily have to buy the premium or deluxe version of a model, that these are considered safety features. And that's what the federal government is reviewing now with the alcohol detection systems.
And another thing too, Josh, that I get this question a lot, maybe you do. When we talk about impaired driving, of course, we're talking drunk drivers. But there are always questions in regards to Connecticut being one of the latest states to legalize marijuana. In your professional opinion, do you believe the legalization of marijuana also contributes to the uptick in impaired driving in our state?
Yeah, we get asked that a lot, and the data simply doesn't back up the theory of the case. So when we are reviewing the arrest records, you're looking at the toxicology reports, it is very, very rare that cannabis is the lone substance in someone's body. We see a lot of poly use. So if there's cannabis, there's usually drugs or alcohol coupled with it. Alcohol really is the main driver for what we are seeing for impairment on our roadways. But, you know, we have a law enforcement phlebotomy pilot program that we are working on right now, which is going to be so helpful because we're going to be able to tell what is in somebody's system at the time of a crash or the time of an arrest. And that's going to be a real game changer. So we'll give a better picture because some substances will stay in somebody's body for days or weeks. It may not be able to tell the full story, just do a urine test, but a blood test will show what is active in someone's system at that moment. So we are excited about that partnership to give us a better idea of what's happening on our roadways.
I remember, Josh Morgan, when I was working up in Vermont, I was a news anchor for the CBS affiliate up there. And when we were rolling out legal marijuana, one of the biggest concerns for people was that there was no way to do a breathalyzer, essentially, for marijuana. And that was sort of controversial there. Here in Connecticut, do we have a breathalyzer for marijuana? I know you're saying that it basically is not the lone, you know, issue that's been found in toxicology reports, for example. It's always compounding with something else. So it's not helping the situation, but it's also not the reason for why we've seen this uptick, yeah, essentially. But do you know if we do any sort of, you know, detection on our roadways, you know, when we do breathalyzers for alcohol, is there a breathalyzer for marijuana?
There isn't. So, you know, for cannabis, for other prescription or illegal drugs and narcotics, you know, it's really up to law enforcement to be able to recognize those signs of impairment, perform a field sobriety test. We do provide support and training to up the number of DREs, drug recognition experts, that we have on state and local departments around the state. You know, the breathalyzer technology is really honed in for alcohol and the way that that's processed in the body. And again, to just go back to the phlebotomy pilot program, that's why it's going to be so important. So it's not going to be just, you know, I suspect someone is impaired. I suspect someone's impaired. We got a consent or we got a warrant to do a blood draw at a secure facility at a lab. And the results of that are showing that, you know, X, Y, and Z was in somebody's system and active at that time. So, again, urine tests will show what has been in someone's system. The blood test will show what is currently active in someone's system.
So, Josh Morgan, I think final question. I know, as you mentioned, there and on past shows and even here today, there are so many things that I think are being done on and off ramps with surveillance for wrong way drivers, especially cameras that are being used, speed cameras to make sure, you know, when we talk about people being clocked going 100, 113, 100, I mean, you know, beyond. We know that there are a lot of devices being used right now. What would you say also needs to be done? Like, are we missing something here? Is there something else we could be doing to you know, face this problem head on? Maybe not even necessarily from the DOT, but just in other sectors, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, it's a holistic approach, right? So, you know, we will continue with their engineering aspect in terms of designing roadways and reconfiguring roadways to slow people down, improve safety for bicyclists and pedestrians. We're going to rely on state and local law enforcement to be out there patrolling, to get speeders, to get impaired drivers off the road. But there's an educational component, right? So working with schools, working with the Department of Motor Vehicles to put information out in front of the public to let them know what the rules of the road are, what laws have changed, and why their behaviors are so important, and you know, what their actions could mean, and that those actions could have deadly consequences. It's part of the reason why we're putting periodically the number of roadway fatalities on our burial message boards, the highway signs, putting that information out in front of the public to hopefully make them think twice about what they're doing. Because when someone's getting behind the wheel and they're driving 100 miles an hour, or you know, they've had a couple drinks and they're deciding that they're going to be okay to drive, they're putting themselves and everyone else at risk. So, you know, education, engineering, enforcement, you know, it's a holistic approach, and we need the public to be our partners in that.
Exactly.
To do the right thing, to be responsible, and to keep themselves and their community safe.
It's sort of the missing link there, if you will, which, you know, no law or detection system or, you know, can force, which is that people need to care. People have to care about not just themselves and their well-being, but the people around them. And so, Josh Morgan, I want to thank you for always making the time to come on the show to get this messaging out there. We are proud partners of the work that you and the Department of Transportation, what you're doing in combating this issue. And so I thank you for always making the time to talk about it here on the show.
Thank you, Melissa. Always good speaking with you.
All right. Josh Morgan again of the Department of Transportation on WICC.